Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Because of that, I have gained your trust. And I would ask today that you would trust me as I preach this word, and that you would receive this word with an open heart and an open spirit, and hear what the word of the Lord is today. Just quickly, I want to give honor to our pastor, to Sister Candy, to Jake, Duke, my two nephews, Atticus and Grady, to my beautiful wife. And I don't know if I'm supposed to announce this yet, but I've got the microphone, so nobody's going to stop me. We are moving back the first week or two of February. So we thank God for that. It's been a great year. Thank you for supporting us in our absence, and we are excited to get back and put our hands to the plow with you and see the harvest that the Lord has for Restoration Apostolic Church. Amen. I want to preach to you for a few moments this morning. If you will remain standing, just give me a moment, please. I want to preach to you today, and I'm going to try to be mindful of your time, but I ask that you'd allow me to preach what I feel the Lord has for this church today. I want to preach this word, and I'm thankful it's January, because this is going to be right along with what Pastor envisions for this church in 2026. I want to make a statement today. I want to make a strong call to this church today, because I know that in this year, in this time, in this place we live, that God is mocked. I know that God is laughed at. I know He is scorned in Hollywood, and that there are those who ridicule anything to do with Christianity or prayer or Bible reading, morality, marriages as God ordained between a man and a woman. They dismantle everything that they can. And maybe there are pastors who stand in pulpits today who have let down on all morality, because they've seen the tithing go down, or they've seen the attendance roll go down, or the income of the church plummet. But I don't feel that way today. I feel like if we preach this inerrant, incarnate word of God, I feel like our church will flourish. I feel like our church will grow. I feel that God will add more to than walks away, and that there will be those who are drawn through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not a consumer's gospel this morning. Not a come as you are and stay as you are, although I want people to come as they are. I want those with broken lives, broken marriages, drug addictions, alcoholics, those who reek of cigarette smoke. I want those who look like they have it all together, the picture-perfect life, the cars, the home, the job, the country club membership. I want them all to come as they are. But the challenge of the gospel, and hear this preacher on a Sunday morning, the challenge of the gospel is to not stay as you are. The challenge of the gospel is a radical transformation that says, Lord, that I may decrease so that you may increase. Less of me and more of you. And I want to preach to you this morning this small, simple thought. God is enough. God is enough. Amen. I'm finding in my own life that God really is the only one, JT, who can give me true peace. I'm finding I can't replace Him with things or relationships, with money or more stuff. And the older that I get, I'm finding out that the only real peace is what comes from God. Everything else is just peripheral. Everything else is just things. It's just stuff. It's just there. I want to get back to the understanding that God is enough. Amen. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 from the English Standard Version. It says, "And calling the crowd to him with the disciples, he said to them, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel the same will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? What vehicle? What job? What home? What aspiration? What would that man or that woman, what would they give out, give to miss out on eternal life? And finally, verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. God has been good to us. He has blessed us. Most of us in this room, we live in nice homes. We drive nice cars. We have stuff. And God is not against us having nice homes, nice cars, nice things. I want that to be clear from the onset of this message today. He's not. He wants us to be a blessed people, but not at the risk that we put our stuff before Him. And I want to preach to somebody who maybe has been on the fence, somebody who has been struggling. Do I go all in? Do I take the plunge into the church? Do I buy into this thing? Do I fully commit to the next step with God? Do I stick it out and make my marriage work? Do I go further than just the superficial? I want to preach to that person that God is enough. And at the end of this service, my prayer, Sade, my prayer is that He will reveal Himself in power and authority, and that He will show each and every one of us under the sound of my voice right now, anybody who's listening to this on a recording, that God is enough in your life. Would you raise your hands and earnestly pray with me today? Say, Lord, if you have a word for me today, then speak it to me. Maybe my heart has been a little bit hard lately, God. Maybe I've been a little bit cold. We all get there sometimes. Maybe, God, I haven't been where I should have been. Maybe I've walked away. Maybe I have become wayward in my journey. Maybe I have been a long way from the cross, and maybe I have a lot of stuff that has gotten in the way in my life. But God, I know that you are enough, and I want to receive you as enough. God, I pray that you would anoint this preacher today as he preaches the word. God, anoint me to hear and receive your word. Speak life into my spirit. Call me back to you, oh God. Call me back to the cross. Call me back to consecration, and reveal how you want to be more than enough in my life. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. God is enough. Amen. Amen. We are a people and a nation that is filled to capacity with stuff. A 2024 study predicted that Americans would spend between $980 billion and $990 billion on core retail sales during the two-month holiday season, up from the previous year's record-setting spending of $955 billion in 2023. We have so much stuff, in fact, that we pay people to build buildings that have rooms where we can store more of our stuff. It's so big that we, in fact, have television shows called Storage Wars. It's a big deal. And every year, the majority of us have what we call in America yard sales or garage sales. And that's the thing where we sell stuff that we paid a lot of money for $5, $6, $7, sometimes even $1, a quarter. We have a lot of stuff, but the question that I would ask you today, and the question I would ask you to ask yourself, is what if you as an individual in 2026 achieve every resolution that you have made for yourself this year? What if you make more money than you've ever made in your life? What if you succeed at every goal that you've set out for? What if you achieve and you conquer and you summit every mountain that stands before you? What if you were to gain the whole world? What if you were to gain all the fame and all the notoriety? Listen to this preacher on a Sunday morning. If you accomplish all these things, I ask you, where does your life gain its meaning? Where does your life gain meaning when you reach the goal? Where does it gain meaning when you get the job that you've been wanting? Where does it gain meaning when you finally get him or her to look at you the way that you wanted them to and you're in a relationship? The real question this morning is, what if you succeed and gain everything you ever wanted? What would you do then? I want to tell you a few things today that are true. I want to tell you that there is a longing in the soul of man that can only be filled by Almighty God. And I want you to hear me when I say that no amount of power, no amount of prestige, no amount of fame, notoriety, or accolade will fill it. I tell you that there are those who live lives that seem like they have it all. People who have millions and millions of dollars in the bank. I've sat with rich people. I've stayed in their homes in Beverly Hills, California. They set off across the world on yachts and in private jets. And I will tell you this, they are some of the most miserable people you will ever meet in your life. And at the same time, I have sat with people on the side of a road who have nothing. I have sat with people who are in a hospital bed dying, that have no family, that have no connection to the outside world, no money, but they have the Lord. And they are some of the most happy, thankful, joyful people you would ever meet in your life. From the outside, there are those that it seems that they have it made. By all standards of the world, they have succeeded. They have made it. They have achieved this premier level of life. Yet oftentimes, as I said, they are the most miserable people you'll ever meet. Kurt Cobain, Marilyn Monroe, Robin Williams, Kate Spade, Ernest Hemingway, Amy Winehouse, Heath Ledger, Whitney Houston, Philip Seymour Hoffman. These are just a few names of people who had it all. They had the money. They had the fame, they had the homes, they had all the things that you could ever want. They had reached the top, everybody knew who they were, yet there was such an emptiness inside of their souls that in order to stop the pain, in order to stop the hurting, they took their own life or they overdosed on a pill and they took their own life and died. Why? Because if you do not have Jesus, it will never be enough. It wouldn't matter if you had $1 billion in your bank account. It would not be enough to fill the void that will always be there calling your name and reaching for you. No, please understand me this morning. None of these things could ever take the place of a God-given spirit that dwells in the heart of humanity. And I have come to this church this morning with an announcement that only God can give you absolute peace in your life. I stand here telling you today that only God can fill the restlessness and the deep void of your life. And when you've got God, you have got everything. And when you have got God, you have got all that you need. There is nothing and there is nobody that can ever take the place of the Lord. There is a deep and ardent longing within each of us. And it was God who put it there. We can find this desire in the very first man and the very first woman. It was the desire that led them to the forbidden fruit. There was a longing in them that said, I've got to have something more. There was something in the garden, the most perfect, amazing, beautiful place on earth. And even in the midst of that oasis, Pastor, there was something deep within the heart of that man that said, it's not enough, that God's not enough, that I've got to find something else. And what took them there, it was a longing to see if there was something besides God that could fill their emptiness. It's the same thing that caused Israel to turn from the food of angels back to the food of their slavers. It was a longing within themselves for more. There was a longing in their spirit, that humanistic voice that said, you know what? There's a tree in the middle of the garden and there's a fruit on that tree, and God told you that he doesn't want you to eat of that fruit because in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die, but you're not going to die. God just doesn't want you to know that the day you eat that fruit, your eyes are going to be opened and you're going to be like God yourself. And that little, slick, cunning voice said, you'll find peace like you've never known. You'll find knowledge like you've never known. You're going to find beauty like you've never known. And there was also something in Israel that said, I've got to go back to my chains, because at least there we had a bed. At least there we had the onions and the melons. At least there we had water. There was something that the enemy put into them that said God would not ever be enough, that God could not sustain, that God could not supply, that God could not provide. But I stand here telling you this morning with everything that I've got, don't listen to that voice that tries to pull you from the presence of the Lord. Don't listen to that voice that would tell you you're going to be happier on the outside than on the inside. Hear me when I tell you there's no place like the house of God. There's no place and no presence like the presence of God. It just seems as though man is born with a dissatisfied taste. We grasp and we strive. It seems like we come out of our mother's womb reaching for more and more and more, clutching on to holding things, accumulating and gathering, because it's never enough. I've got to have more. I've got to have the latest, and I've got to have the greatest. And if we were really honest in this building today, there's an inner emptiness that shouts, I want and I must have, and I have to have it. You finish the project at work, you stop and you admire the efforts and the fruits of your labor, and then there's an inward voice that says, well, what do I do now? Because it wasn't enough. And that voice, it shouts, more, more, more. I've got to have more. I need to have more. And God is standing there on the sideline of your life saying, if I could just be everything you need, if I could just fill every area of your life, if you'd let me. And he begs to come in, and he wants to come into our lives. He wants to be the God of all gods in our life. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you today that there is an absolute war between the God of this world and the God of heaven. There is an absolute war between the God that's trying to get your attention and get your heart, and there is a battle here today. And I'm asking you, is God enough for you? Is he enough to fill you, and is he enough to thrill you? Is he enough in your life? Is he enough for you to turn your back on the world and say, I have decided to follow Jesus? There's a war. There's a distraction going on. There's a pooling in the air. There's a battle for our time. There's a battle for our focus. There's a battle for our hearts. There's a battle for our money. There's a battle for our opinions. There's a battle for our loyalties. You can look around and you can almost physically see the spiritual warfare that's taking place in our world against the world and the church of the living God. And the world is doing everything that it can to lure you and to pull you and to seduce you and to sedate you, to make you lethargic and passive to the point where you cannot see that there is a trap set before you, where you don't see that the enemy is trying to destroy you and your family and every good and perfect gift that the Lord from on high has placed on your life. And this preacher has come to tell you this morning, to tell you, sweet people of God, that living for the Lord, allowing him to be enough, is the best decision you will ever make in your life. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? I'm reaching for you today. I'm fighting for you today. I don't care what's going on. There is a battle for all of us to fight. We grasp and we reach and we clutch on to, and not one of us in this building is a stranger to that. And so what do? It's what society calls living large. It's the desire to be the most with the mostest. It's the desire to be the one that has it all. It's not the desire to keep up with the Joneses, but it's the desire to be the Joneses. And the belief of this world is that he who dies with the most wins. But I tell you today a truth. It is not he who dies with the most stuff that wins. It is he who dies with the most of God in their spirit and the most love in their heart that wins. Because when we die, it's all over. when we die, everything that we have gets sold or gets given away to somebody else. When we die, they'll speak some words about us in a sanctuary like this, and then they're going to close the casket, and then a preacher is going to walk at the head of that casket while they go to a limousine, and he will stand there at a graveyard when they lower it into the ground, and he's going to say, from ashes to ashes and from dust to dust, from the earth we came and to the earth we will go back to. But ladies and gentlemen, that is not the end for somebody who has realized that God is enough. Because when God is enough, death is just the beginning. Your last breath on this earth is followed by your first breath in eternity in a perfect kingdom of heaven that God has gone away to a place to prepare for you. You've got to leave something behind. You've got to leave a legacy behind. Leave something for someone else to follow in your footsteps, to follow in what you lived. Don't just die with toys. Don't just die with stuff, but die with a legacy. We want the finest homes, the finest automobiles, the finest clothes. We hunger and we thirst and we say, more, more, more. I've got to have more. Yet often it seems the more that we get, the more that we think that's going to make us happy, the more we think we're going to be fulfilled, the more stuff we accumulate, oftentimes we keep wondering, why am I so unhappy? The more stuff in our basement, the more stuff in our garage, the more unhappy and dissatisfied we are. You can call it what you like, but I call it the Esau syndrome. It's profane to discard the priceless while reaching for the valueless. And it is folly to cling to fool's gold when the real gold is in our midst. Esau sold out for a lousy bowl of soup. Esau traded a lifetime of blessing for a moment of pleasure. Esau, you are going to give away everything. You're going to give away your birthright. You're going to give away your calling. You're going to give away your legacy. You're going to give away your character. You're going to give away your good name. And the price is short-term gain. And is it not vain to clutch to the temporal when there is an absolute eternal that comes for us all? And we try to fight and we try to get more and more. And we forget that there is an eternity that comes for each and every one of us. And that in that eternity, we're going to stand before the throne of God. And each of us are going to have to give an account for the life that we lived on this earth. Hear me, please. I am begging you to hear a preacher on a Sunday morning. Money will buy you a bed, but it will not buy you sleep. Money will buy you books, but it will not buy you knowledge. Money will buy you food, but it will not fill your appetite. Money will buy you finery, but it will not give you beauty. Money will buy you a house, but it will not give you a home. And hear me, there is a vast difference between living in a house and living in a home. Money will buy you medicine, but it will not give you health. Money will buy you luxury, but it will not give you culture. Money will buy you amusement, but it will not buy you happiness. Money can give you religion, but it cannot give you salvation. Money can buy you a passport to anywhere in this world except for heaven. Because if you are going to go to heaven, God has got to be enough for you while you are here on this earth. If you are going to go to heaven, you have got to love this word. You've got to love this church. You've got to love His people. He said, if you want to come to where I'm at, I have got to be enough for you right now when you have nothing. He says, you've got to love me more than your mom and your dad. You got to love me more than husband and wife. More than brother and sister, more than your children. And if we're honest today, we are continually looking for something to satisfy the longing that is within our hearts and within our souls. And I have news for you, and I need you to hear me today. It is not something that you are longing for, but it is someone that you are longing for. It's not something that can buy you happiness. It is someone that can give you happiness. It's why the psalmist would say it best, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But he should have said, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. The Lord is my shepherd, I don't have to look anywhere else. I want to ask you today, is God enough for you? And the answer is yes, He is. Because he's my shepherd. And when I have him, I don't need anything else. I want you to know that God, he is enough today. That God is a satisfier of the soul. That God is a satisfier of my deep longings and desires. Not things. I've got things. And to be honest with you, you could come to my house right now and you could probably steal some stuff and I wouldn't even know that you took it. And I probably could come to your house and steal some stuff from your place and you wouldn't know that I took it. But the fact of the matter is that we've got a bunch of things, but sometimes we don't have what we really need, and that is the fullness of who God is. Not possessions, God. Not goals that are realized. Not projects that are finished or offices that are attained or titles or prestige or notoriety. Not those things, because those things are fleeting. They are as a vapor. Just God. We have got to get to the place where we can say, God, I can serve you without any of this stuff. I can serve you, God, without the home that I live in. I can serve you without the car that I drive. I can serve you without the fancy title or position. God, I just want you to know you're enough for me. I don't know if you've had an encounter with him lately, but I'm telling you right now that every now and then you've got to tell God, I will serve you without any of that, because you mean more than anything in my life. You're more than a position. You're more than a title. You're more than a job. You're more than money in the bank. You're more than accolades or recognition. You're more than fame. You're more than fortune. You are enough. Only Jesus can satisfy my soul. He alone can feel the longing in my heart. Look anywhere else in the world today for satisfaction and for fulfillment, and you won't find it until you find God. Because only God is enough. We find in Ecclesiastes the story of Solomon, who was the wisest man to ever walk this earth besides and behind only Jesus Christ. And Solomon said, let's conduct an experiment and let's do it with pleasure. Let's have a good time. Let's party it up. Let's do everything that we can. Let's pursue all our carnal and vain thoughts. And so they did. And they gave in to every indulgence that you could imagine. And after the parties, and after the opulence, after he lifted up, after he gave himself whatever pleasure, whatever desire, whatever he had wanted, Solomon, the wisest man in the world, said, I can encapsulate all of this in one word. And he said, it is all vanity. He said, it means nothing. It's worthless. It's just vanity. And do you know what that word means in the English language? It means meaningless and worthless and futile. He said, after I lived it up, after I gave into every temptation, every desire, everything a man could possibly want, I learned one thing, and that it is all worthless. He tried accomplishment, but it was just insecurity. He tried possessions, but it was just inadequacy. He tried everything you can think of, and he said, vanity, vanity, it is all vanity. Listen to the wise man. Listen to the preacher. Listen to this teacher. Listen to this King Solomon. There is nothing but God. That's it. Everything else is worthless. Everything else is meaningless. Everything else is temporary. Everything else is going to fade away, but God will never fade away. This is a man. There's a man who has nothing but God. And if he has God, he has as much as the man who lives in a mansion who says he has God. If all you have is a rust bucket and a tent to call your home, but you have God, you have as much as the man who has the mansion. Because God knows what we can and what we cannot handle. God knows what would ruin you. So we need to stop praying at times for tons and tons of money, because it might ruin you. It might be that new car that takes you away from God. It might be that new house that keeps you away from the house of the Lord. And God knows what we can handle. So maybe our prayer ought to be in this hour, not Lord, give me more, but Lord, let me live according to what I can handle. Because if you have God, you have everything. And if you don't have God, you have
nothing. If God is missing from our lives, we will lack peace. We will have no true joy, no deliverance, no healing, no salvation, no hope, no strength. And every joy and amusement in our life becomes short-term, fleeting as a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. Because as Solomon said, it will not last. It is all vanity, and it means nothing. And we need God today. We can't make it without God. We can't even walk without Him holding our hands. We can't live without God, because it is in Him that we live and we move and we have our being. Who is God? He is a friend that never leaves us. I have found, and I say this personally, I have found that He is a friend who collects all my tears and stores them in heaven. He is a friend that says, I have planned good things for you in your life if you will let me be your God and if you will let me order your steps. He's a friend that even when I'm undeserving, I can still live in expectation of God's great favor because He is a friend like no other friend has ever been to me. He is a friend that never leaves me, Stephen. He never forsakes me. He never abandons me. He never walks away from me in the dark moments of my life. He is always right there. He is always as close as the mention of His name. That's why the Apostle Paul would address in his last letter to Timothy. And we think, you know, we think we have it hard living for God. And we come up with excuses and reasons as to why we can't or we won't or we don't. But Paul wasn't like that. He made it clear that God was enough for him. He knew, Dusty, that the end was in sight. He knew that a sharpened sword was awaiting his neck. And he knew very soon he would die for his belief and for his love for God, as musicians come. And in Paul's final instruction to Timothy, he gives a powerful assurance. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13 from the King James Version says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. God is faithful even when we are fickle. When we have nothing left but God, we arrive at life's irrevocable conclusion that we have enough. Paul said, cut my neck, end my life, silence my voice, do what you're going to do, but God is enough. Paul said, I could have been a rich man. I could have come into great leadership because I had all the influence and the affluence that anyone could have. I came from great people. I was educated. And Paul gave it all up. Why? Because he reasoned. And he settled within his spirit and within his heart and within his mind that God is enough. Really, I guess you could say, He's all that I need. He's all that I need. And what does God want today? I'll tell you what He wants. He wants to be everything to you. He wants to fill your heart. He wants to fill your spirit. He wants your marriage to be so blessed. He wants your family to be blessed. He wants your life to be anointed. He craves relationship with His creation, a closeness that cannot be substituted with earthly things or earthly friends. I've got friends in my life who I do believe would walk through hellfire with me. That's one of them right there. I know this man would walk through the fires of hell with me if I asked him to, and I would do the same for him. And I have people in my life who can speak to me, people I have given permission to tell me when they think I'm doing wrong. I've got people who love me enough to tell me I'm going down a dark path. But as dark as it gets, there are some dark places that only God can go with me. There are some places that not even my sweet wife can go with me. There's some weariness within this man that there is no answer for outside of God. There are some dark places in my life that only God can be there to walk with me. There are some nights, some cold, dark nights where all I can do is run to an altar and pray and cry out to God and say, God, you are enough. Why, Landon? Because God desires to draw close to you. God desires and longs for a relationship with you. Well, how do I know that? Hear the question asked by God in the garden. Adam, where are you? It's the cool of the day. It's the same time that every day I come to walk with you. I come to talk with you. And I come to commune with you. And the question came, Adam, where are you? In the middle of paradise, God said, Adam, I can't find you. Where are you, Adam? And we know the story. Adam hid himself from God. And he put on an artificial covering of fig leaves to cover his guilt and his shame because his eyes were now opened to a reality that he was never supposed to see and was never meant for him in the first place. And God said, oh, Adam, surely you didn't do it. I gave you everything. I gave you all you could ever need. I gave you myself in the middle of the day, every day. But it wasn't enough. Satan, in his cunning way, chopped a man down in the middle of paradise. With God in the middle of his life, he walked with the Lord daily, every afternoon talking to him. You know, Scripture's correct when it says that the enemy, your adversary, the devil, walketh about the earth, seeking to and fro for whom he may devour. His desire is for you today. He has one agenda, and that is to blind you. And please listen to me this morning. I'm begging you to listen to me this morning. You may not want to hear these words, and you may just want to blow this off, and that's your prerogative, and that's fine. But you're going to have to give an account to the Lord one of these days, and you will never be able to say that someone did not tell you that Satan has an agenda, and that is to deceive you with glitter while making you think it's gold. That what he can offer you is a life better than a life lived with God. He did it with Adam and Eve. He did it with Esau. He did it with Judas. He's done it with people that I've walked hand in hand with in ministry. Some of the greatest preachers of the gospel you'd ever hear. The best of us. And I have watched them throw it all away. It breaks my heart. And we're fools to think that he cannot do that with us. We are fools if we really think that we are smarter and more cunning because he has been at this for well over 2,000 years. Sin hid man from God. Yet even when Adam messed up, God said, I still love you. God said, I still love humanity. And God had a plan to leave heaven and come to earth. Die the hardest, most cruel, vicious, painful death of anyone. But that's the thing about our God, and I'm done. God always seems to forget himself when it comes to us. I say this with reverence. I don't mean this irreverently or sacrilegiously or disrespectfully. But it is almost as if at times God has a momentary lapse of good judgment. And when he should strike us dead where we stand because of the way we act. When he should call us out, when he should send judgment. When God should speak with authority of the king. When God should say, I'm done with you. When God should say, I'm turning my back on you. He doesn't. Instead, he remembers, I love them so much that I laid down my life them. And you know what? I would do it again That's what it took. Because real love knows no danger. Real love doesn't count the cost. And for God, for the man Christ Jesus, that cost was an old rugged cross. It was your cross. It was my cross. He forgot himself. He ignored the danger as we stand this morning. I wish that I was a better preacher. I wish that I could convey it better. Because I have preached to people that are going to die lost and they don't even know it. And I'm not angry at anyone. I'm not angry at this church. I love you sweet people so much. I don't want to see any of you lost. I don't want to see any of you go to a devil's hell. I don't want to see judgment on your lives. There comes a point as a pastor where you just don't know what to do anymore. You've said all you know to say. You've reached as far as you know to reach. And we find ourselves standing behind this desk week in and week out with no idea what to truly do next, what to say. And so we just preach Jesus. And so what I've tried to do here today is just preach Jesus to you. Surely he hath bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 through 5. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes were healed. And we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. God is my shepherd. He came to this earth as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, a perfect, spotless, sinless sacrifice. He came, God is my provider. He came, God, my provision. He didn't do it for his sake. He did it for me. He did it for you. He did it for us. And I've learned something about God, and that is that he remains the same, even when I don't. Not me. There is a restlessness in my heart that I get sidetracked and I get distracted and I get offline. But God has come to this place today to heal us of our wandering ways.
Jesus, thank you, Jesus.
The one who is enough wants to be enough for you. And there's nothing left to say. A cross, a crown of thorns, a broken heart. Maybe John 15 and 13 says it best. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And I am so sorry if I have failed to convey this to you today. I'm so sorry if I haven't done enough to reach you today. I'm so sorry if I didn't prepare correctly. I'm sorry if I didn't give enough. But I am begging you to hear God tell you how much he loves you, how much you need him. And even if you don't see it, even if you've lost your way, these altars are open and I'm begging somebody to step out of your seats and come forward and find a place to meet with him while he may be found. Because right now he is a lamb, but there comes a day where he will stand in judgment as a lion. There is a day where he will reign as a lion. And I'm reaching for somebody right now because the hour waxes short and the Lord Jesus is coming back for a church. Don't let this world steal you away. Don't let this world steal your attention. Don't let the distractions of this life and of the enemy draw you away from God. Church, God is enough. God is enough. Come on, somebody. I'm begging you to draw close to Him right now. Whether it be in this altar or whether it be at your seat, I'm begging you to find a place and get on your knees and call out to Him. Reason within yourself that God, you are enough. I may not get all the things I want, but that's okay, because God, you're enough. I may not get the life that I dream of, but that's okay, because there's a life that's coming that will not end, because there's a place that's coming that you prepared for me that will never end, that will never cease, a place you have gone away to prepare, a place where that if it were not so, you would have told us, and a place that if you go away to prepare it, you will draw unto us again, that we may be with you forever in paradise. Oh, come on, somebody.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.